الحمد لله، نحمده سبحانه وتعالى ونشكره ونتوب إليه ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونشهد أن لا إله إلا هو، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. We praise Allah and we ask Him humbly to grant us what will make us worthy of His grace and mercy, and to give us the support and the help that we need. And we ask Him to shower His blessings and peace on the last of the prophets, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We bear witness that there is no deity save Allah, and we bear witness that Muhammad is the servant and messenger of Allah. Dear Muslims, there are certain things that put a burden on us as human beings that we have to fulfill. And I'm talking about human beings, Muslims, non-Muslims, old, young, men, women alike. We are endowed but by certain distinguishing features that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, instilled in every one of us, because He blew from His spirit in every one of us across the board. The human being, number one, is that being that can think, but I add, should think. If the human being is not thinking, is not using the brain and the faculty of intellect, he really or she are not addressed, because the Quran says, "Inna fi zalika la ayatin liqawmin yaqilun." These messages are for people who can think, which means that people who don't want to think are really left behind. Then, the power to express your thoughts and your ideas, the power to communicate in a clear, understandable way. And we read in Surah Ar-Rahman, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ. Allah taught the human being and gave the human the power to express, to communicate verbally, or of course in writing. That is number two. Number three is the human being is a capable being. Every time you see, if you go to the village and you see a young boy like this, 5 years old, pulling or leading a camel through, you say, Subhanallah, that camel can, if he sits on the child, he'll smash him. But God gave the human being the capability to drive things, to use things that this capability is not available to other species. Number four is the ability of self-restraint. We are the only member of the animal kingdom that can restrain themselves if they want. Like, if I want to do something that's very desirable, I am the only being who can say, no, not now, it is not appropriate, or not in this place, etc., which is our exercises that will come soon, inshallah, in Ramadan. What is Ramadan? It is you have food, you have water, and you have intimate relations, etc. But you say for a higher consideration, I am delaying that until after sunset or until after Ramadan. That ability to say no to something that you want is uniquely for human beings. Last but not least is the responsibility. Human beings are responsible beings. We are responsible beyond our own self, beyond our own circle. We carry a certain sense of responsibility. Responsibility means I am in charge of the service needed by others for their growth, for their happiness, and for their protection. And this is why when Allah talked to the angels, he said, إِنِّي جَعْلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. Khalifa is a vicegerent, a guardian, a representative of God to take care of things. So those are the five cardinal signs of human beingness. If we miss on any one of them, we really miss big time. All human, I restrict myself for the sake of the time to that last fifth sign, which is sense of responsibility. All human groups, big or small, and even human individuals, disintegrate and fail when they lose that sense of responsibility. When everyone feels that he or she are irresponsible or act in an irresponsible way, be it a person, be it a boy, be it a country, be it the greatest power in the world, if it acts without sense of responsibility, it is the beginning of its disintegration. No matter how long or how short of a time it is, because it is violating one of the cardinal basic components of human beings. And so, the word responsible in Arabic means mas'ul. Mas'ul is coming from the Arabic verb sa'ala, which questioned. The responsibility then means that I am questionable for doing my job of taking care of whatever cycle I am responsible about. No one can escape that. Whether that person is a believer or non-believer, that innate sense of accountability, that I'll be questioned about that. Either questioned by my community or by my conscience, or of course, for believers in God, this is the ultimate field where we will be questioned about what we do and about what we have done, or what at least what we have intended to do. And this goes, as I said, across the board to all human beings. We have to feel that we will be questioned, and we will be questioned by an authority that we cannot hide from. You can hide from any boss, from any group, from any government. You can even hide from your own conscience through a complex process of justification. But you cannot hide from that particular ultimate questioning power, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God Almighty will not be fooled. He sees through. So, if we just establish that feeling in ourselves, I am telling you that life can be completely different from the life that we see around us these days. The Quran said in a very strict way, وَقِفُوهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ مَسْؤُولُونَ. Stand them, line them up. This is وَقِفُوهُمْ. Line them up. They are going to be questioned. And this is the day that we should bear in mind and we should bear in heart. that no matter what we do, at the end of the day, we'll be in a line to be questioned one by one, individually. No one can speak for the other. I cannot invoke the righteousness of my father. I cannot put it in the responsibility of the imam or the sheikh. I'll be asked personally about what I did, what I intended to do, and I'll be accountable what I could have done. Because in the mercy of God, he will not ask us about things that we cannot do. You have that sphere of power. How did you use it? It's as simple as that. The issues or the circles of responsibility are so many. They are actually intersecting circles that are endless. The Prophet, peace be upon him, had a very profound saying. He said, "Kullukum ra'in, wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatih." Each one of you is a pastor or a leader, and each one of you will be questioned about the sphere or the group or the thing he was in charge of. Then he goes in details. He says the man is in charge and he is accountable. The woman is in charge at the home of her, on the money of her husband, and she is accountable. The servant is in charge of the money of the household and he is accountable. But the key word, kullukum, all of you are. So none of us, no human being who wants to be a human being, can shed off or throw out that sense of responsibility. As I said, it is different circles. It starts in, or at least today, I will start by two or three of them. One of them is the very close circle, as close as you can get. The smallest circle ever is myself. I am supposed to be in command of myself, and I am supposed to be in charge of myself. That space that I occupy as a living member of humanity, I am answerable to God about that. And we'll take one verse of the Quran that will be very revealing for us. The Quran says, "Inna as-sam'a wal-basara wal-fu'ada kullu ulaika kana anhu mas'ula." The translation of the verse is, "Verily, lo, the hearing, the vision, and the heart and the mind, all of this you have to answer about them." Let us look a little bit analytically. We take the sama, my ears. By the way, what makes you who you are is based on information. You are born knowing nothing, of course, except what God instilled in you of the fitra or of the natural human instinct. But in terms of experience and knowledge, you are delivered out crying, then someone have to put the diaper on you and take care of you and nurse you, etc., until you become an argumentative adult that sometimes gets in our heads that we are the greatest and we are a big thing. And the Quran says that it was produced from something very simple, almost trivial. فَجَعَلْنَاهُ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ, until he becomes an argumentative, confrontational being, which is all of us. If I look to what made me any one of you, it is things that came through these four openings, your two ears and your two eyes. Those are the two organs that God put in us to absorb, to have all the information, all the data funneled through here to go to the brain. And if there is nothing funneled through my ear, I will not be able to speak. I learn to speak because I hear other people speaking. And this is why you will not find a deaf person who is speaking. Those are the openings from which we get life information. And the eye, of course, things that we see. Ugly things, good things, beautiful things, colors, behaviors, actions, etc. There is one difference between the two. The eye I can close. I can close my eyes and I see nothing. The ears, we don't have ear lids like eyelids. So it is an opening that's always opened. Everything can be dumped through your ears, whether you like it or not, whether it is good or bad. And I am pleading particularly to the young people. You are leaving your ears opened because you can't do otherwise. But be aware of what is thrown in there. Question the lyrics of the music you listen to. Question the delivered material that goes to your ears. Because according to the Quran, you are accountable for that. We cannot, as I said, I cannot close my ears. Except if I am bent on not hearing something. This is why the beautiful parable in the Quran about those who are bent on denying the truth, Quran is telling the Prophet, when you tell them the truth, جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي أَذَانِهِمْ. They plug their ears with their fingers. So they are on the outlet. They are refusing to hear to the truth. وَاسْتَغْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ. They pull their clothes on their heads. They don't want to hear. They don't want to see. So they canceled the two most important organs to get them information that can lead them to the truth. Yes, I am not responsible about everything that's thrown in my ear, but I am responsible about how I assimilate it. This is why the Quran said, الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. What is this verse telling us? Is those who hear things, hear sayings, then they follow the best. So here is a process of selection. Selectivity comes into play now. And here where the responsibility is. If you come and sitting next to me and you are saying very ugly things, it is your problem. But if I follow you, this is my problem now. Because that's the level where I can control. I cannot close my ears, but I can select from what I say, what is worthy and what is worthless. And of course, the verses in the Quran are plenty about that. When we look at the eye, it is similar but different story. Yes, it is an inlet where I get things and I get information, but definitely I have two eyelids. I can close my eyes. If I see something very obscene or ugly, I don't have to see it. If I know that something is very obscene and ugly is in that place, I don't have to go to it. If I am sitting in a movie and I see a scene that is bare sex or brutal violence, I can close my eyes. I don't have to keep my eyes open. Because no matter what, even if you don't believe it, if you don't accept it, it is affecting you. Why? Because those two channels pour in al-fu'ad. In as-sama'a wal-basara wal-fu'ad. Al-fu'ad, according to the best Arabic authorities, is the mixture between the heart and the mind. Your innermost faculty as a human being. So everything is dumped through those two apertures, but they get processed in the brain and they get accepted or rejected in the heart and the brain together. So I am really responsible when I hear something. I should be feeling that I am accountable about what will happen to my heart if I listen to gossip or to rumors or to lies. I am very responsible to say, does it make sense? Is it the right thing to say? Can I verify it? This is why the Quran says, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَأٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. If outrageous comes to you with news, you have to verify. The onus is on you always, because this is part of your faculty as a member of the human family, is to have this responsibility. So in the very small circle, tight circle of the individual, I have the Sam, the Basar, and Al-Fu'ad. I am responsible about those three. And I have to be vigilant in being sure that I will not be misled through that. I will not go astray through these openings that I have. The other circle of responsibility, and this is not an exhaustive list, but things that are really glaring, when the Quran said, "Wala tus'alunna yawma idhin 'anil na'im," you will be questioned about the good things that God gave you. You are blessed. Everyone, alhamdulillah, is blessed by so many things. Maybe health, maybe wealth, maybe intelligence, maybe tranquility, maybe good family, maybe. Everyone cannot count even the blessings of God. But be aware that particularly in terms of possessions that you are enjoying, you will be asked about that. How did you use it? Did you squander it around? Or did you use it to collect more until you die empty-handed? Or did you use it for the cause of God, which is to promote, to help the needy and to promote justice and mercy in the world? Those are things that we should take very seriously, because it is when we say we are responsible beings, this is the responsibility. It have to be actualized and translated into action. And I want to emphasize this, because we see very strange things in our world that shows us that this item can be completely forgotten. What do you say about a person who builds a graveyard on the cost of $110 million. Grave. Guy, you are going to be eaten by the worms, no matter how the grave looks like. But we are so intoxicated and so confused and short-sighted that the money that God gave me, I spend it this way, that will not count a hoof when I am standing there to be questioned. What am I going to tell God? You gave me a wealth and I built with it a grave. And I'd like to extend the same thing to us as a Muslim community, really. I want us to be very judicial when we build the fancy mosques and bring the marble from Damascus and put the chandeliers from Turkey. What are we doing? Not aware of the needy and the poor and the cause of liberation and justice in the world, which needs horrendous amount of money. I leave all of that and put a fanciful minaret and dome, and each body is congratulating each body and kissing and hugging with Allahu Akbar. Islam is prevailing. Islam will not prevail unless the values that Allah wanted from being prevail. until the values are accepted by the hearts and minds of people, until the behavior of the people become closer to the divine justice, mercy, and the grace of God. I ask you to think about that because I think it's important. Udu Allah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. My dear brothers and sisters, I just selected certain specific areas of responsibility. But I want me and you to be aware of an open-ended responsibility. Simply, when God created us in earth to be His vicegerents, we are responsible about humanity. And whatever the way we relate to humanity, whether on small cycle or on larger cycle, we cannot walk away from that. This is why when Quran described the community of believers, said that community that has been created for humanity. خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. If it is not for humanity, it is your business. It becomes a spiritual trip between you and God. But the purpose of us is for humanity. So we are responsible really about what happens in our country, about what happens in our mosque, about what happens in the world. I will not look at the mosque and say, oh, there is a board for the mosque, alhamdulillah, they are doing a great job. No, I should feel that this is a sphere of responsibility. Keeping our pledges, because what is a pledge? A pledge is a contract between you and the humanity, whether at largest scale or at smallest scale. When I give a pledge to the country, this is not the whole humanity, but that should be fulfilled. When I give a pledge to my spouse, I am pledging contractually and morally to another human being and should be fulfilled. When I tell my children, I'll take care of you, that's a pledge that should be kept and should be honored. And this falls under the five items we talked at the very beginning about what make us human beings. I conclude by saying when we violate these things, we are not only eroding our claim of faith, but we are eroding our human beingness. And trust you me, you cannot be a good Muslim or a good Christian or a good Jew or a good Buddhist if you are not a good human being. First, become a good human being, then choose your way to God. But to make it the other way around is very disturbing and confusing. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to the straight path and to clear our vision and to purify our hearts and to give us the stamina that we need to improve ourselves and to add goodness to the world. I ask Him to give us the power to be able to carry our responsibility. Allahumma ighfir lana warhamna wa'afina wa'afu anna wa tawallana wa tub alayna innaka anta ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Aqim as-salah.